look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, great to have you back. Boy, spirited discussion with Vince Catronio, a good baseball man. That was a lot of fun having him on, talking about the A's and recounting a little bit of John Lester and Kansas City when it looked like the A's had that thing in the bag. Bruce Jenkins joins us live on the patio. Bruce, great to see you.
Oh, very great to be here, finally.
Yeah, we're not sitting at the counter.
I know. The glasses are tinkling, though. Really? I just heard them.
I love the open. It's a great open. You want to mention the Junior Giants?
Yeah, yesterday, actually, July 13th, Friday, yesterday, started the 10th annual Junior Giants stretch drive, pardon me. The stretch drive was created in Willie McCovey's honor to help fund and provide the Junior Giants baseball program for over 24,000 boys and girls in 90 underserved communities. Not undeserved, Marty, underserved. This year, they're proud to have Andrew McCutcheon support as well. Junior Giants is a free, non-competitive co-ed program, and you can donate by visiting the website juniorgiants.org or sfgiants.com/stretchdrive.
That's JRGiants.
JRGiants, sorry.
.org. Yeah, I said underdeserved.
I did too, first time through.
50 times when you read it. It's underserved.
Yeah, you don't want to. They do deserve it.
Exactly. They deserve more than that.
Sakes.
My
God. They deserve everything.
Thank God we did. We've
overserved these people.
Really. Well, here we are. What a game last night, huh?
Yeah, that was an amazing game. You know, at the 7-1, it doesn't sound very good, but for six innings, it was just tremendous. I mean, Edwin Jackson was great when he wasn't falling off the mound. And he had all kinds of chaos behind him. He still pitched great. The drop ball in left field and the collision that took Lowry out of it, but he was great. Bumgarner, I thought, was very good, starting hitter after hitter with that slow curveball, so just throwing him off balance right away. He got in a little bit of trouble there late, but Moronta, and let's say it right, Reyes Moronta, was fantastic. He was really the story of the game, I think. And, you know, of course, Steven Duggar legging out a couple doubles, giving the Giants that speed that we haven't seen. It's terrific stuff.
Yeah, we keep saying it was a great game, 7-1 for the Giants. I can't imagine A's fans feel the same way after they were in it with the bases loaded, nobody out, a chance against a rookie starter or a rookie relief pitcher and didn't get any runs.
Yeah, exactly. And it was awfully tough for the kid from Stanford to come in that situation with the bases loaded, nobody out, make a debut.
Is that his name?
That can't have happened very often.
What are they thinking about putting him in, bases loaded against Duggar?
Yeah.
No one out. I think it was nobody out at that time. And then, of course, Moronta. I'll call him Moronta. I'm from Brooklyn.
Well, that's what everybody
can I tell
else
you?
Calls him.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they put him in, bases loaded, nobody out, and essentially two rookies. What are managers thinking about? Now, I will say this about Moronta. He doesn't play like a rookie.
Well, no, and he's been around. I mean, I'm not even sure how you pronounce that kid's name from Stanford.
Bleich,
yeah. I mean, he's never pitched in the big leagues. He is 31. He's not a kid.
Yeah.
I'm sure he loved the opportunity. But, you know, Moronta, I mean, he lives for this kind of stuff. He was just throwing heat and great breaking pitches, and he was ready. I don't think he was daunted by that at all, obviously.
Well, this is here we are. Game 100 will be next Saturday.
Yeah.
And 62 to go. And I always say, when you played 100, you have a team if you're still in it. You don't play 100 by accident and stay in this thing. And the Giants, this is a very interesting season, a very interesting story of where this thing has come from.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's the halfway mark. It's well past that.
Well, it'll be 62%.
Yeah, we're coming into the stretch drive before you know it here. But, yeah, I just think, you know, nobody had any great forecast for the Giants. And if you had said to people, you know, Bumgarner's going to get hurt, Cueto's going to get hurt, Samardzija is going to get hurt, Panic's going to get hurt, you know, you'd think, well, they'll never climb out of that. And then all these great stories show up, you know. Duggar's here, and Alan Hansen is adding a lot. You know, Slater's doing some stuff. And between Suarez and Derek Rodriguez, I mean, you're looking at future starters there. Just amazing, Marty, how these stories appear that nobody could have really forecast them, and they're keeping them alive.
Well, you sort of have like five of the 25 of impact rookies.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
Well, yeah, it sure is. I mean, And when you see Rodriguez and you learn about his, you know, his heritage of Pudge Rodriguez, it starts to make a lot of sense. You know, it's like, geez, he looks like a guy who has been around ball his whole life. He's not afraid of any of this stuff. And Suarez from the left side has that same great composure. You know, he had a little rocky start, but once he got his footing, man, he's ready to go. So yeah, it's been pretty inspiring.
What do you think of these six games in a row?
Well, I love it. Well, you know, I dropped that piece in the paper today. That was from Marty Lurie, you guys. Marty Lurie's the kind of guy who can tell you that in the old Pacific Coast League, the San Francisco and Oakland teams played like a seven-game series, just boom, daily except for Monday off and a Sunday doubleheader. So I had to drop that in there, because it is great they play six games in a row. They're obviously with a big break, but it's still six in a row on the schedule. It's nothing but Oakland. I love it.
Yeah, and it's exciting. It's good baseball. Both teams are in it. I did call Dennis Snelling last night, who's written wonderful books on, you know, Dennis, on the PCL, to make sure I was right.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't want you to put something in there that wasn't right, but that's what they used to do.
Yeah, well, I interviewed Lil Arnerich before he passed away a couple of years ago, and he was telling me about, you know, how they would just settle in for a week against the team, and it does a lot for the Bay Bridge series, because it connects the teams in both stadiums within the same time frame. And otherwise, you kind of forget about it, and then you come back, and it just seems all too brief. And to me, it's never seemed terribly relevant either, but feels a lot different now.
Well, we have the All-Star game coming up. Adam, I'm going to ask you this, and Bruce as well. The game has no value. In other words, it's not being played for anything. Can it stay like this, or do you have to put something at stake, whether it's money or something?
Well, you know, people are always trying to fix the game, and I've always thought that, you know, if you shorten the game by 7 minutes, you're not going to bring in the, you know, quote, millennials. You know, you either love the game or you don't. It's hardly a niche sport. It was once called the national pastime, but the appeal of baseball is its pace and the way that it's played and the way you have time to think about things. And every time they try to fix it, some of the stuff is great, but, you know, in terms of the All-Star game, you know, you and I both, from the time we were little kids, look forward to this game, and I still do, like, as if I were a little kid. You look at the lineups. You know, how about Crawford, Arenado, and Javi Baez in the same infield? It's going to be killer. I wish they could play the whole nine. But I don't think it needs any tweaking. And, if they have a great 9-8 game with a lot of heroics, nobody's going to want to fix it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I like it. In the middle of the summer, I've always associated it with summer. I've loved that 1 week where I don't like having the week off of baseball, but I like that there's that one event to look forward to, and you're saying, like, baseball needs a month. This sort of is the baseball month. That's the 1 week where there's nothing else going on. It's all about baseball. I like the All-Star game, and I hated that it was a this-one-counts thing, especially since it was a reaction to a tie, that you were trying to pump something back up after you renamed the award, the MVP, the Ted Williams Award. And then you can't even give it away because they tied. So
yeah, we're hosting Game 7 of the World Series because somebody hit a sacrifice fly 3 months ago.
Unbelievable, unbelievable.
Well, that didn't work.
No.
That didn't work. But here's the problem I see. The pitching is so strong now that you invariably get a 2-1 or 3-2 game because every time you get bringing another guy who throws 98 and you're doing it in the second inning.
Yeah.
And the hitters, this is walk, strikeout, home run. This is where we live now. And I'm afraid it's sort of bled into the All-Star game.
Yeah, if you look back at the history of the All-Star game, box score after box score, you see guys going three.
Yeah.
Just three guys sometimes, 3-3-3, the three best pitchers in the league. You know, maybe Kershaw, Bumgarner, you know, and Lester, whatever it might be. And that to me was great. I mean, let them hit, no problem. We'll see him hit a little bit. But it's also a good chance to have somebody pinch hit you want to try to get in the game. But I hate the procession. And I hate guys getting taken out of the middle of an inning in an All-Star game.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's embarrassing.
That's terrible.
What, you can't get the next guy out? I mean,
well, they want to get everybody in.
Yeah.
And this is the deal. And you talk to managers or coaches who've been to All-Star games, that their deal is to get everybody in. And I think has changed. So what do you do? Well, to make it more interesting so the players have something to play for, so, you know, they're not taking pictures with Joe West or, you know, doing silly stuff like that.
I forgot about that. Yadier Molina with his phone on the field.
Well, they love it because this is, you know, selfies.
Yeah.
And baseball wants to be hip, you know, and in the mix of everything, so they do that. So what motivates players other than money? Nothing.
Well,
money.
Yeah.
So maybe you say, all right, here's the pot of, you know, $8 million. and you divide it up any way you want, but winner gets all, and the loser doesn't get anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's necessary. But, I mean, to me, you know, I think a guy like Javi Baez needs to get paid to play his butt off in that game. And
he doesn't.
He's still on his first contract, maybe.
Again, I'm going back a million years here, but there was a lot of pride involved in the past, and it was about National League and American League, and they didn't see each other until the World Series, and there was they really played hard to win that game, and there was a great feeling in the dugout and the locker room about, you know, winning this game. That's kind of gone now. But, for financial incentive, I have no problem with that.
Well, but Marty, I mean, I think maybe that's true for some veteran guys who have been 5-6 times, and there's no spectacle to this anymore. But Wilson Contreras broke down in tears the other day when he found out that he'd won the award, that this is a huge nod for him. So I think for younger guys, I think for guys making their first trip, it certainly means a lot more. And I think for them, that's the incentive. I think for the veteran guys where, you know, a Buster Posey who needs a few days off and has been catching a bunch through this season, I think it means something different.
Yeah, and Hetty Buster made it clear that it was a tough call for him. It's obvious that he needs a cortisone shot. He's got to take care of himself, but he really wanted to go to the All-Star game where he's a regular, but he didn't want to miss it. You know, it just feels good. It's an honor.
Well, it was, and Willie Mays always said, and Bruce, we mentioned it. So we've done the show for so many years now. I'm sure we've mentioned this already. That Walter Alston came up to Willie and said, well, what should the lineup be? And Willie said, well, I'll lead off.
Yes.
Put Aaron second and Clemente third, and after that, I don't care what you do.
And come the seventh inning, there was still those three guys.
I don't care what you do after that. That's up to me. But you put us three, and we'll take care of the league.
Yeah. I remember when I saw Mays was leading off with that. You know, you lead off with a triple, and one year he did lead off with a triple.
That's exactly right.
All right, here's where we're at. This is awesome.
Well, you brought up Posey, and I think it's worth commenting today. He's had quite a week.
Yeah.
First of all, revealing that he's got the hip issue. He's not going to the game. He's got to get a cortisone shot. And he blasts one off the wall to win the game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last night he had a couple of big hits and he pulled the ball.
He did pull it twice. I mean, I think it was great that he did that. You know, he's such a private guy, and his business is his own. It was uncomfortable for him to reveal his condition, but I think it's great because people need to understand what's going on with him. Yeah. People are ripping him on the air. He's lost his power. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's overrated. You know, God, it's incredible garbage being thrown out there. But it comes to make sense a little bit. And even through it, you know, he's always been a good off-field hitter, and that comes in handy. It won that game for him. But, you know, he sucks it up and dead pulls a couple balls, too. So, I mean, I think I've had a couple cortisone shots. It's pretty miraculous. It's not permanent, but it gets you through a couple months with whatever's ailing you.
And it humanized him, I thought.
Yeah. Very much so, yeah.
I think it's funny just because we talk about it all the time across baseball with other players that catching is so difficult to do, and when it breaks you down fast. But when we watch it in front of our eyes here happening to one of the greatest to ever do it, it still comes as a surprise.
Yeah, and people have really no idea how these guys get banged up behind the plate. It's just crazy. I mean, your hands and your shoulders, and you get bunked in the head. I don't care what kind of a mask you've got on. If you get rung up like that, man, you're feeling it. And Posey, you know, his longevity even now with, I think, several more years that he's catching is just remarkable. And it's huge. I heard you on with Kerry Crowley today, and he was talking about how he works with these young pitchers. That's just invaluable. You can't plug in a guy who can do that. You got to have guys like Posey are really rare, and you cherish him.
Yeah, this has been quite a week for him. And he's done a million things as a big leaguer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But this week for me showed me something of his perseverance and playing through pain. And being the guy, you know, and I said it last night on Twitter, I don't know if it was a compliment or not, but I said, he's the best hitter they got. You know, he is the most pure hitter they have.
Yeah, he is. Again, the off-field stroke is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I just think it's great for him to have gone public with that because, and I think it's going to make things a little bit easier for him to have come out with an admission like that. There's no shame in it, and the fans understand it better, and they relate more to what he has to go through, and it all kind of makes sense.
A couple of good columns this week about Hall of Fame catchers. Posey, Mauer, and Yadier Molina.
Mm-hmm.
Three Hall of Fame catchers, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. With Mauer, you know, I don't see as much American League as I do the National. His numbers are very good, but he's never struck me just as a guy who, right now, during his time, which is the big measurement for me, whereas Molina and Posey, automatics for me. Just not just with the numbers, way, way beyond the numbers. The winning, the working with pitchers, the way other players talk about him, you know, the presence. That's huge for me. I never look at numbers when I vote. It takes me like 5 minutes to fill out my ballot because that's really all about I know is baseball. Don't ask me about anything else. Maurer's never struck me that way. But I mean, hey, he's had terrific numbers and
batting title.
Yeah, that's big. But I would hesitate if they were all three there. I'd vote for Posey and Molina.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it came up this week, specifically Maurer, comparing him to Posey, because Posey's days as an effective hitter, as a catcher, maybe, waning down just a little bit. And the same thing did happen to Maurer. And Maurer goes to first base, and he has numbers that would be comparable to maybe what Posey would have as a first baseman. And they get lost. Because they're not Gil Hodges or Orlando Cepeda or Ted Kluszewski or, George Scott.
Forget first base. Yeah. Willie Stargell and Lou Gehrig.
Yeah. And they don't become those kind of players, so it kind of tarnishes their career a little.
To that same point, I think Maurer has not been catching for years now. He was an elite catcher for a long time, and then they moved him to first so that he could preserve his bat, and now his bat is really just kind of, it's been average, and the catching's not there. So, to what you were mentioning about Carey saying earlier is, even if his bat is not the same as it was 5 years ago, helping these young pitchers and still catching a brilliant game behind the plate, I think, can't be measured.
Yeah, and with Posey and Molina, you have the context of winning.
Right, the winning thing is huge.
They're a great deal of responsible for, but they have been. They've played for excellent teams year after year. They meet up in the playoffs, and all that matters, too.
Well, a great Sam Spear. Yes. He's one of the horse racing experts and can actually speak to horses. He can talk to horses.
He had a great interview with Secretariat before.
I love Sam. Sam is absolutely the best.
You should have heard with American Pharoah.
He's
even
the best.
Better.
He's
even
the best, better. Really. I thought he was a jockey for a while. All right. So Sam, I love him. So he sends me a text. What's wrong with a trophy? Don't Cal and Stanford have the axe? And they probably laughed at it when it first started. So we were kind of talking about this Bay Bridge trophy.
Yeah, my answer is the what? I mean, it's a little bit late. I mean, I saw it in the dugout. It's all very nice. I mean, the axe goes back to, Abe Lincoln.
Well, when they have the winner of this trophy, will the other team rush to the dugout and grab it
exactly.
and bring it back?
The player, Boshi even said today, he said that the players aren't talking about it. I didn't mean that in a mean way, but it's very new and it's going to take a while to catch on. I don't know.
Well, I had to let Marty know. Do you know what the rules are for if they split?
Oh, that's a good question.
If it goes 3-3, whichever team wins the last game.
They don't go to penalty kicks?
No. Well, they don't go to the fair play rule either. Yeah. Whoever gets the most yellow cards just automatically out.
All right. Yeah. Well, look, I love the series. Bruce wrote a beautiful story in the Chronicle about it this morning. That was a baseball game. Where was McCutchen going? And there was a botched hit and run or something?
Yeah, that was.
Wasn't he got thrown out?
So embarrassing. And he comes
it was
to
a second
stop.
Out at third?
Yeah.
Second base?
I didn't get a chance to go down and see what was going on there. I haven't really read about it. The Giants won easily, so it was kind of swept under the rug a little bit.
Yeah, but that was a huge play.
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bumgarner, we'll wrap it up with this. He was terrific last night. We had Owen Poindexter on from The Athletic. He's the analytical guy.
Yeah.
It says, look, the fastball isn't there the way it was 2 years ago. The spin rate's not there on his pitches. He's not throwing up that big fastball up in the zone. But he has turned himself into a very effective pitcher.
Yeah, I think that slow curveball doesn't need any work. Yeah. And I think his slider is pretty good, raking low and in to the right-hand hitters and being very tough on the lefties. I don't know about spin rate, but I do know his breaking pitches are working. He's throwing fastballs at 91, which is not quite what he had, but no slouch to be throwing 91. But his timing is so good. And the release point is the same on all of those pitches. That's the whole key to it. And he'll elevate the fastball occasionally to give a hitter a little different sight line. So I think last night was really encouraging. I mean, the A's came in smoking, and they hit the long ball. So that was very encouraging for Bumgarner.
He's a pitcher.
Yeah.
And that's the best.
Exactly.
He's a pitcher. He's not a thrower.
Right.
We want a pitcher, not a glass of water.
Yeah.
Remember, we used to say that? Didn't you ever say that in Little League?
I thought it was a belly itcher.
Yeah,
a
belly itcher.
I don't know about the glass of water part.
Right.
What was that?
All right. Boy, great to have you here live. It's a pleasure to see you.
Both of you guys, absolutely. It's overdue, and it'll be happening with more regularity.
Very good. All right, Bruce, have a good afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
That's
appreciate
a great
it.
Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.